The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, United Airlines, and University of Phoenix.
The offseason around the NFL is underway in earnest this week. Good evening, hello, and welcome. It's another edition of Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zabin, happy to have you aboard. And since this is called Bears All Access, let's change the access going forward here throughout the offseason. We're going to be taking your phone calls throughout the show at 312-644-6767. Again, 312-644-6767. So basically, we'll try to get a full hour of your phone calls, and at the end of the show, we'll announce the best caller of the hour, and that caller will get a gift certificate to Sports Authority. So we'll have a lot of fun with that. There's a lot to discuss, guys, in regards to the start of the Bears offseason, and I guess you could say it really started on Friday when Matt Forte made it public that the Bears would be going in a different direction in the 2016 season, and Matt Forte's career with the Bears is over. When I say the name Matt Forte, Tom, what stands out?
Oh, you think of guys like Gale Sayers and Walter Payton and Thomas Jones and Matt Forte and the way they prepared themselves in the offseason to be prepared for the punishment of the game during the regular season. And I think that's such an admirable quality of Matt Forte, is what he dedicated to the game and what he got out of it. He was extremely profitable and statistic-wise. He's a leader, a model citizen in the locker room. He's a great example of how hard work is going to pay off. So in all the football terms, you're not going to hear a nicer report about a guy than Matt Forte in the way he's always carried himself.
The words that were used to describe Forte by just about everybody over the weekend when they were waxing poetic about Forte's career with the Bears, the ultimate professional. But this is a business, and Jim, even though since the time he was drafted by the Bears, Matt Forte leads the NFL in scrimmage yards, why does this make business sense for the Bears?
Well, I just think, well, first off, good to be with you guys again. I like the audible to start the show there, Zach. Aggressive already in the offseason.
Yeah, we're not wasting time.
Well, very good. But it's unfortunate, but I think everybody saw the writing on the wall with Matt Forte. It's not that he doesn't conduct himself as a professional and doesn't prepare himself. I mean, the guy is fantastic. He's been a fantastic player. I mean, most yards from scrimmage since he entered the National Football League, more than Adrian Peterson. So productivity wasn't a problem. I think it's a money issue at the end of the day. I don't think anything the Bears could have offered Matt Forte, you know, it sets them back to with other areas of the team that they need to fill. And plus, you saw Kadeem Carey, Jeremy Langford was fantastic last year as a young draft pick. And Matt Forte will probably have greener pastures out there in the open market as an unrestricted free agent. A true pro, has always handled himself with class, great in the community, couldn't ask for anything more for Matt Forte. It really comes down to the business of football. What you'd have to pay Matt Forte, you can get probably two inside backers. You can get safety help. There's a lot of positions to be filled for the Chicago Bears. So just in terms of dollars and cents, it really didn't make much sense for the Chicago Bears, and it'll be sad to see him go.
You know, Jim, the thing about the business aspect that Zach brought up seconds ago is that when you make this decision, the business aspect, it plays a more important role than what you've already learned about Matt, of being a great teammate and so well prepared and stuff. Because the things you're not privileged to are the complete medical records of a player, and that's one thing you're never going to be given. It's hard to associate a dollar figure from the outside if you don't know that type of information. And then you have to pay a player for what he's going to do for you, not for what he's already done. And that's the unfortunate side of it, because we've all been released by a team that has come in and looked you in the eyes and said, we're making a decision to go in a different direction. And it hurts no matter if you're in the first year with your team, a rookie, or if you're in the 10th year.
I'm sorry, one last thought. It's not that Matt Forte would go against the trend, but I do think we all understand, I think for the listeners out there that are Bears fans, the trend in the NFL, running backs over 30, it's just that position gets younger and younger every single year. Not too many running backs have had a lot of productivity over, say, the age of 31, 32 in the NFL. And I think that factors in as well, just to getting younger as a football team.
I think the other thing that you have to remember is kind of what Jim hit on. When you look overall at improving the football team, maybe the Bears aren't better overall at the running back position next season, but the football team overall can improve because, as Jim mentioned, now you can take that money that you would have had to pay a guy like Forte and spread it around and add some of the playmakers that you need to raise the level of your football team.
You know, too, as I do, I think, too, going into this thing, the responsibility of the running game doesn't fall on the shoulders of Jeremy Langford only. I think if you remove a guy like Matt Forte, you're going to have other guys through either free agency or through the draft. They're going to come in here and compete for some important playing time. When you were the Bears on the outside looking in years ago, and when you knew there was going to be one guy that was going to mean a majority of your running game and your backfield time, now it's not that way. So I do think there's a better opportunity to go out there and uncover a diamond in the rough because of what his contribution needs to be to this football team and the way you feed him information.
Well, that's a good point, too, because if you were just to judge by the offseason last year by the Chicago Bears, to me, they hit it out of the park with their draft. Because look at the contributions. I understand Kevin White got hurt, the first-round draft pick. But you look at the contributions of Eddie Goldman, Jeremy Langford, Adrian Amos, Hronas Grassou. Those are young players that came and played well. Even Corte. Corte came in. That's a late pickup from Arizona who started at safety for the Bears.
Yeah, it's hard not to mention Timu. Sorry, Jim.
Yeah, and yeah, Timu, as you mentioned, these are guys that were kind of under the radar that, you know, were big contributors. Or even Pernell McPhee, the signing from Baltimore, I think made a big difference. So if you just go by last year's offseason that the Bears had, to me, they hit it out of the park. And I think they've earned the trust that they can do it again this offseason, the second year of John Fox and Ryan Pace.
Bears took care of some business today, filling out an important part of the coaching staff. They have a new receivers coach. Mike Groh left to join the Los Angeles Rams. So former Tulane head coach Curtis Johnson takes over as the Bears wide receivers coach. He has a little bit of a background with Ryan Pace coming from New Orleans. That's where he was, helped a bunch of receivers with Drew Brees, put up some big numbers. And before that, he was at Miami, where he worked with some of the best receivers in the NFL, guys like Andre Johnson and Reggie Wayne and Santana Moss. And I bring that up because as we head to the break, there is a huge deal that could affect one of the Bears' top players starting tomorrow. We'll explain next. Tom Thayer is here. So's Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zabin. Your phone calls too at 312-644-6767. Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Former Bears quarterback Jim Miller is here. So is 85 Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabin. And you can join us at 312-644-6767, taking your phone calls throughout the show. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Best caller of the hour will receive a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Want to remind you, the Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, covering the world of Bears football on and off the field with Anthony Adams and Lauren Screedon, brought to you by Jimmy John's, and airing every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox 30 to Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/inside the bears. I saw AA Anthony Adams was roaming through the Hallis Hall lost and found. There's some interesting items there. He had one of those, I guess back in the day, the 85 Bears, it was during the heyday of Miami Vice, an old show that was very popular right in the 80s. Google it, kids, if you don't know what I'm talking about. And your quarterback, Jim McMahon, was dressed up.
Yeah, he and Walter, they made a Miami Vice poster the same time.
Yeah, you guys made a lot of posters back in the day. Some of them have not stood the test of time. But let's get back to the 2016 Bears, because there are a lot of free agents. You know, I'm holding a list here of all the Bears free agents, and probably the most important one and one that's going to dictate the offseason in terms of all the news that you're going to hear on a daily basis is going to be the wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey. Because tomorrow, and Jim can explain this, Jim, tomorrow is the first day that NFL teams can begin to apply the franchise tag. And when you talk about a player like Alshon Jeffrey, you're talking about one of the most valuable receivers in football. If he hits the open market, there are going to be a lot of teams going after him, despite some of the injuries that he had to play through this season. Can you help explain exactly what the deal is from a business standpoint going forward now with Alshon Jeffrey?
Sure. There's two type of tags. There's the exclusive and the non-exclusive franchise tag. And basically, it binds the player to the team. So say if the Bears place the franchise tag on Alshon Jeffrey, it binds that player for 1 year. It's the average of the top five salaries at that position in the NFL. I believe wide receiver franchise tag this year is probably going to come in about maybe a little over $14 million, according to the projections. Now, that's what the Bears have to ask themselves. Is an often injured receiver worth $14 million of compensation? They may want to protect themselves because they don't know where Kevin White is at. In terms of, I know he got on the field practice towards the end of the year. Supposedly he looked terrific, but he still hasn't been full go when you look at Kevin White. So the other tag that's available is called the transition tag. So I should explain that in the exclusive franchise tag, if a team outside, if Alshon goes out and, you know, shops his services, a team would have to give the Bears two first-round draft picks for the exclusive franchise tag. Okay, so they would get compensation. The other tag that not too many people know about is the transition tag. And what that is, it binds the player to the team again, but it's the average of the top 10 salaries at that position. Last year, the best example would be of the Miami Dolphins, Charles Clay. Miami placed the transition tag on Charles Clay. But here they had given Ndamukong Suh so much money at the defensive tackle position, they no longer had the money to keep Charles Clay. So the Buffalo Bills make an outrageous offer to Charles Clay, and thus Miami cannot match that offer, and then Charles Clay ends up as the Buffalo Bills property and worked out a big-time contract. I kind of lean towards the transition tag for Alshon Jeffrey. Granted, the Bears wouldn't get compensation if another team, you know, threw out a crazy number at Alshon, but I do think it would give the Bears the ability to match, because at least now Ryan Pace and John Fox would allow him to go out, shop his services. This is what he feels his market value is worth. They bring it; he brings it back to the Chicago Bears, and then they can say, you know, that's a realistic offer that we would match as a football team. Because when he's healthy, he's a great player. I think we all understand that. But those are all the things that are going to have to be decided through the team doctors, the team trainers. You know, how often injured he is. I don't know what his medical history is. He's had a lot of soft tissue issues, seem to be the problem with Alshon Jeffrey. But at least it would give the Bears the opportunity to match the offer if they want to, if they applied the transition tag.
And the Bears can begin applying either the exclusive rights franchise tag, the non-exclusive rights franchise tag, or the transition tag beginning tomorrow. But they don't have to necessarily do it tomorrow. You have until 3 o'clock on March 1st to make that happen. Well, and even if you tag a player, it doesn't mean that you can't reach a long-term deal. Because remember, they did that with Matt Forte a few years back where they applied the franchise tag, and they went back and forth for a while. But then when the deadline hit on July 15th, they were able to reach a long-term deal, and Forte ended up playing the duration of his contract.
That's a great point, because it can help out in negotiations. A lot of players think that getting a tag is the kiss of death, because they want to work out security in a long-term deal. So, you know, Ryan Pace has that in his favor. Hey, Alshon, we're going to offer you this money, and he can talk to his agent and say, hey, if you don't, we're thinking about tagging you. And maybe it'll motivate Alshon to say, hey, I want to be a Bear. I want to be here. How bad do you want me? They come to a conclusion and reach an agreement, and it could be used as leverage just to get the player signed. So I assume Alshon wants to hit free agency and see what he's actually worth, because I've heard crazy numbers that, oh, Alshon's going to command the Dez Bryant deal. No offense to Alshon Jeffrey. He is not getting the Dez Bryant deal out there on the open market. It is not going to happen for a player that has been injured as often as Alshon has.
312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Anything in the world of football, anything in the world of the Bears is fair game for either Tom Thayer or Jim Miller. Again, 312-644-6767. Best caller of the hour wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. So we talked about Alshon Jeffrey and the business of football, but Tom, on the field, if he left, it's not as though you have someone immediately that can take the field and replace what he was able to give you.
Yeah, but you understand what it's going to be like to replace him. Since he missed so many games this year, never sent the Bears offensive coaches into a tailspin, and they couldn't move their offense without Alshon. And that's the unfortunate thing about it, because I think Bears fans, they would love to have a really positive thinking, a real, you know, locker room leader type guy in Alshon. He showed it a couple times this year, the Green Bay game and stuff. He, you know, talked some pretty strong feelings before. But, you know, Alshon has to show something to the Bears to get their interest and get a monetary tag to it.
All right, well, we've got some phone calls here. Do you want to take them, Jim? Because I feel like these guys want to talk to you.
Sure. The last thing I will add, though, but I just want the listeners to understand this, and I know Tom can back me up. Normally when you have a veteran quarterback, you go young at receiver. If you've got a young quarterback, you go with the experience having veteran receivers to help out the young quarterback. So keep that in mind as well. The Bears have an experienced quarterback who's coming off his most efficient year without Alshon Jeffrey even on the field for half the season. So just keep that in mind. That's normally the status quo, that if you've got a veteran quarterback, you go young at the receiver position because he can normally manage it and bring those guys along.
And there are a couple of other free agents, too, at the receiver position. Mariani and Bellamy, also free agents. Let's take a phone call here before the break. We'll go to Iowa. Rick, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, thanks for taking my phone call. A couple of questions real quick. I was just saying with Kevin White, and if we do re-sign Alshon, what are they also looking like at wide receivers? Is there anything out there that some like quick little juke back type that they can get, like a Element or something like that? And then also maybe if you can, could you talk about the tight ends? And then I'll get off and just listen to the answer.
Yeah, I mean, quickly for me, Zach Miller is a free agent. I'm sure they'd like to sign a lot of athleticism in the position. A good blocker can play multiple levels on the offense. But they need a healthy year out of Eddie Royal. There's a guy that has to come in here and really be a guy that's out there a majority of the time. I think that would be one of the key figures if you did have Kevin White on the field, a little bit of a seniority responsibility.
We'll continue with Bears and free agency. The scouting combine begins next week. A lot to discuss in your phone calls at 312-644-6767. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The official tablet app of the Chicago Bears, Bears Daily, powered by Xfinity, is now available for free download. Search Bears Daily for the latest team news, videos, photos, and more. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. We're changing it up for the rest of the offseason, taking your phone calls throughout the entire hour, 312-644-6767. Best caller of the hour gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority at the end of the show. To the phones we go. Schomburg, John, you're on Bears All Access. How are you doing, John?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call, guys. I have a two-part question. First of all, with Doug Martin, Lamar Miller, some of those guys, do you feel like Matt Forte is the best free-agent running back to sign in the NFL? And if you had $1,000, where would you say he goes this year?
I think quickly Matt is the most experienced, the most versatile, has a wider array of weapons that he can use on a football field. You know, Matt should have enough respect around the NFL that he should look, you know, what do he assume a contender is? Is it from Seattle to New England? Is it to Green Bay or some other team around the league that, you know, he could possibly be the main running back for a playoff hopeful team?
Yeah, I think for him, well, you got to connect the dots. Probably Miami has another free agent and Lamar Miller, who is younger. I don't know whether they'll re-sign him or Adam Gase. Normally, when the coaches move on, they like to bring in players that know the offense. And I also think the New England Patriots, you know, for them, they had Deion Lewis go down to injury. They had a young running back, James White, step in. They may feel that a veteran is needed in New England. Because remember, LeGarrette Blount went down early, but Matt is so versatile, he would fit well with the New England Patriots. Again, I think it just depends on the price, and I think Matt Forte will get a pretty good deal this offseason.
312-644-6767. Darren, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, good evening, guys. I got two questions here. How would Jackson fit in Chicago for the Denver Broncos? And my other question is, in the scouting combine, if Sean Robinson from Alabama or Buckner's on the board, who would you take? I'll let you guys talk.
I'm sorry, did he say Jackson for the Denver Broncos?
Malik Jackson.
Yeah, he's that guy's a good player. From what I understand, he wants a five-year, $75 million deal out there in Denver. When you look at, they just re-signed Derek Wolfe, another talented defensive end that got nowhere near that. His was more in the $35 million range. I think it was about $17 million guaranteed. I would like to think the Broncos want to re-sign Malik Jackson. That's what the priority by John Elway, their general manager, stated. He'll probably get north of what Derek Wolfe got, but I don't think he's going to get the $75 million he's asking for. You got to remember, two coaches that coached him, Jack Del Rio and the Raiders, are probably going to be wanting to sign his services, and I do think there would be interest by the Bears. Bears currently have about $55 million a cap space. They could make a pretty good offer for either Danny Trevathan, the inside backer out in Denver, or could make a run at Malik Jackson. I definitely think they could do that.
You know, that's a great point that you make. I heard Greg Cosell of NFL Films say that if you watch the Super Bowl coaches tape, that Malik Jackson was as impressive in what he was able to do, because you wouldn't notice it watching it on TV, as what Von Miller was able to do. And that you can obviously see. It's very easy to see a guy rushing the passer, but what Malik Jackson was able to do also heavily influenced the game.
And that's where the Bears have to upgrade. They got to get disruptive at the defensive line. They have to put a lot of pressure on their opponents' quarterbacks, and they got to do it quickly, and they have to limit the success of the running game. And so I think it would be, you know, again, being an old school up front first, he'd be an interesting guy to look at if that opportunity presented itself.
And speaking, Jim, of some of the Bears free agents, you know, Jarvis Jenkins is one of those guys that's going to hit the free agent market. He had a nice season with the Bears playing at defensive end. Is he a guy that you consider bringing back?
Well, I think if you go out and you take a swing at the plate for a home run like a Malik Jackson, then you'd only have to re-sign one of them, because Mitch Unrein is also a free agent.
Correct.
I believe. So I think the Bears would, in all likelihood, like to bring back one of them, but it's going out and potentially landing what would be their white whale, Moby Dick, which, in my opinion, Malik Jackson is definitely a white whale.
312-644-6767, best caller of the hour, wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority here on Bears All Access. We go to Pennsylvania. Rob, you are on Bears All Access with Zach, Tom, and Jim.
Hey, guys, bear down. Hey, I got to pull over because I was in the middle of a blizzard out here, and I was excited. I'm from Illinois, born and raised. After the Air Force, I married a girl from Pennsylvania, and she wears the pants in a relationship. So here I am, back at PA. But anyway, I caught it on the AM station, and I was like, "Oh, that's Bears Radio." I got to. I pulled over. I'm sitting on the side of the road right now, but I got to ask you a question, and it's something that's been bothering me. And you may have already answered it 50,000 times, and I apologize if you have, but. I got to think that in the back of the Bears' mind, they knew once they saw the performance of Langford throughout the season that maybe Matt Forte, you know, they just didn't have the intention, and they kind of knew in the back of their mind this was going to be his last season in a Bears uniform. Why not at that point before the trade deadline try and get something for him as opposed to just let him walk?
Well, that may have happened. You don't know that. You don't know who Ryan Pace called. So it potentially could have happened. You know, I don't think so. They had to make certain that Jeremy Langford and Kadeem Carey could step in and fulfill that role. You got to have talent to replace talent is what we always say here on Bears All Access. So I'm sorry, Tom, your thoughts.
No, I was just saying, I don't know if the decision was 100% until they got to the end of the season and realized they were going to go in a different direction. So, you know, Matt is a hard guy to want to get rid of. He's a guy that if he really showed the, an explosive type spark that you need out of that running back position, then maybe your judgment's different.
And I think this shows you the difficulty in the NFL of what occurs when you're not successful overall in your drafts, puff decisions with some of the players that you would like to keep who get there to a certain point in their career where, once you're a running back and you're 30, even though, again, as I mentioned earlier, since 2008, since the year Forte entered the NFL, no one has more scrimmage yards. That includes the guy in Minnesota, Adrian Peterson. The problem is that once a running back hits 30, the analytics tell you it's very rare that a 30-year-old running back is going to continue to have success.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's the part of the game that, you know, is when the business and the sports get at the crossroads, that's where you don't get to make the decision about how a guy endeared himself to you up until this point.
And the good news is at least the Bears have protected themselves at the position, because the last couple of years they've spent the fourth round pick drafting guys who were effective at the collegiate level, Jeremy Langford and Kadeem Carey. And you've seen both of them have a little bit that they've shown you in the NFL that makes you feel comfortable going forward. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Brad in Naperville, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, guys. I was thinking about possible signings at defensive end, and yeah, Malik Jackson looks like a good one.
just maybe a little expensive. I wanted to mention Muhammad Wilkerson of the New York Jets as a possible cheaper option at that defensive end, where then you can go after a Trevathan, maybe another corner or something. What do you guys think?
Well, I don't think Wilkerson is going to be a cheap option. I mean, already Mike Maccagnan, the general manager of the New York Jets, they probably still will place the franchise tag on Muhammad Wilkerson, because minimum it locks him up for another year. And plus you can get compensation if a team does want to come and acquire Muhammad Wilkerson. So I don't think that would be a market that the Bears are in. They don't want to give up their draft picks. They want to build a younger, stronger football team. And by doing it by signing another team's franchise tag player, you'd have to give up compensation. So I just don't think the Bears would get into that Muhammad Wilkerson market. We'll see what the Jets do. They got to clear up some cap space to even place the franchise tag on Muhammad Wilkerson, but I do not think that will be an option.
Could affect their quarterback position, too. They've got a lot of issues there to think about. But in regards to the Bears, we've heard the name Danny Trevathan, who played on the inside for Denver the last few seasons, including when Fox was the head coach there. But do you spend big money on an inside linebacker?
No, I don't think you'd have to spend that much for Danny Trevathan's services. I think he's a young, up-and-coming linebacker, and Denver's going to have a decision. They'll clear up some money from Peyton Manning. I think they end up releasing their left tackle, Ryan Clady, who potentially could be out there on the open market. Because think about it. They won the Super Bowl without him, so they really don't have to pay their left tackle. So that could be another guy the Bears may be interested in, Ryan Clady.
I would just respect the word of Vic Fangio. I would let him get involved in some of the Italian evaluation, because he seems to be a very good judger of inside linebackers.
More of your phone calls coming up with Tom and Jim. I'm Zach. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Join the season ticket priority list for a future opportunity to become a Bears season ticket holder. Visit ChicagoBears.com to join now. Zach Zaidman, 85 Bear, Tom Thayer, and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller with you here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. We're giving away a gift certificate to Sports Authority for the best caller of the hour, and we've had some pretty good ones so far. 312-644-6767. We've talked a lot about Matt Forte, what he meant to the Bears, and where the Bears go forward at the running back position. We've talked about some of the free agents who could be available. We've also spent some time kind of looking ahead to the draft. And the reason I bring that up, Jim, as we get ready to take some phone calls, the delicate balance now that Ryan Pace has to achieve, because the draft is super important going forward to take the Bears to the next level. But free agency comes first in 2016. So just based on your knowledge of who's out there and what you're going to look at next week at the scouting combine, what's realistic for the Bears in free agency compared to what's realistic where they're going to end up picking in the first round?
Well, I think they've got some salary cap money where they can make a big splash like they did last year with Pernell McPhee. I do believe that about the Chicago Bears. But you bring up a good point. There's two things converging on each other. You mentioned the combine starts next week, where you got the college side of it diving into these young draft picks that are going to be potential for the Chicago Bears. And then you've got the pro player personnel side saying, hey, these are the top free agents at key positions that we need. So whatever isn't filled in free agency, the rest will be filled in the draft. And at the same point, Ryan Pace is walking that fine line, understanding that, hey, I know it's a strong D-line draft. There's good D-linemen that are going to be coming available in the 2016 NFL draft. Maybe we don't have to pay all that money to Malik Jackson. And he's trying to weigh the risks and rewards about that. Because I'm telling you, from the Senior Bowl to what is being projected coming out in the NFL draft, there are great pass rushers, there are great D-linemen, and maybe that would be a cheaper option for the Bears. And then they could go out and target, whether it's the safety position, corner position, other areas that they feel are stronger in free agency, because all indicators are, say, this year, this isn't a good receiver draft. So here we're talking about Alshon Jeffrey. That could affect his standing with the Bears, and for Ryan Pace saying, hey, we probably should work out a long-term deal with Alshon Jeffrey. This receiver draft isn't as strong as the past few seasons, and maybe we can't bring a player up to snuff with Jay Cutler, and they're just not as talented as what they've been. So all these things factor in in terms of the contingency plans that Ryan Pace and John Fox are putting together of how they want to build their football team.
You know, but I think they got a much clearer view right now than they did last year coming into it, because you had to go out there and evaluate the talent at a collegiate level and go out there and get the best athletes that you figured were in the draft at that point. Now they know how coaches coach, what they're expected to do according to their assignments, how John Fox treats a football team. And I do think it's a lot clearer of a picture for Ryan Pace and his staff to go out and have a clearer way of identifying the players that are going to come out here and fit into this football team, fit into that locker room, and then, you know, upgrade the positions.
Let's go back to the calls. 312-644-6767. Crystal Lake, Brendan, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, guys. So this past year with Matt Forte moving on, a lot of people are talking about Jeremy Langford and Kadeem Carey. And while I think Jeremy Langford is going to be a very good running back, I'm not too sold on Kadeem Carey. I feel like the only reason he got that second running back job, the third running back job, was because Jaquizz Rodgers and I think Sonoris Perry both went on IR earlier in the season. And I feel like he only had one good game throughout the year. So my question is, do you see him as the number two running back next year? And if so, do you really see him as a viable option?
That's a great question, and everything leading up to it. Because Sonoris Perry, you know, he was one of the main guys of the core special teams, and that's where his role was going to be with this football team. But I have a great deal of faith in Kadeem Carey. Sometimes it's just at the running back position, it's waiting your opportunity. And when Kadeem Carey got his opportunity, whether it was the deep man and kickoff return being the first blocker out of the end zone, he did a great job of that for special teams coordinator Coach Rogers. And I do think for the role that's expected of him on third down and different opportunities to carry the football, I'm fine with Kadeem coming in there and competing.
And I remember having a conversation with John Fox about this. He said the way Carey runs the ball inspires the rest of the football team.
He's a hammerhead.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a hammerhead, man. That guy is not afraid. He, for their size and stature, both Langford and Carey, to me, run. You know, I don't want to compare them to Matt Forte, but I think they're more physical style of runners between the tackles. And Kadeem Carey is not afraid to put his helmet down and drive it in there. And I think that, like you said, it inspires your football team when you do those type of things.
During the regular season when we did a Bears All Access with Kadeem Carey, I brought up the fact that he has the same size and measurements as Walter Payton. So tell me why you can't be, you know. So it is a challenge like that that I think he's very acceptive of. And I do believe that he can hold down the running back position, help hold down the running back position.
Yeah, and remember he was asking us for video of Walter Payton coaches tape so he could watch the way he used to run and maybe try to incorporate some of that into his game. 312-644-6767. Wheaton, Jim, you're on Bears All Access.
Thanks for taking my call, guys. Do you think it was a mistake getting rid of Brandon Marshall? I had three thoughts. One, the coach is supposed to manage difficult personalities, and he didn't even get an opportunity to do that because they released him. And then was it more of Jay Cutler as far as helping him progress by not having to look for Brandon Marshall all the time? Or was it just that Brandon was a difficult personality he didn't want to deal with? Thanks a lot, guys.
Jim, what do you think?
Well, my thoughts, I thought he was toxic in the building. And I think for John Fox, he wants a football team. Brandon has been on Denver, somewhat wore out his welcome there. Miami, that's why he was shipped to Chicago. And I think he was a difficult personality for Mark Trestman to coach. That's just my personal opinion on things that I know. And I think John Fox is about building a team. He doesn't want a collection of individuals. I'm not saying Brandon Marshall isn't a fantastic player, because he is. But there's more to it than just your talents on the football field. It's how well you work with your colleagues, your coworkers in that building as well.
And important to note that while John Fox had never coached Brandon Marshall, Mike Rowe, his position coach, was around the entire time, essentially, that Marshall was a Bear. And he also had Adam Gase, last year's offensive coordinator, who had a previous relationship with Marshall in Denver. So they knew everything that there was to know behind closed doors about Brandon Marshall, and they clearly made the decision that the football team would be better off overall without Marshall inside.
Well,
that
just for our time with Brandon Marshall here, I don't want a player that's flying to New York once a week to do a TV show. I know, you know, it's probably maybe I'm behind the times, but if I'm paying him a certain amount of money, I need the commitment out of him during the regular season to be in town.
And I think that was a small part of everything that led to Brandon Marshall's exit from the Bears. Clearly, there was a lot of stuff in the locker room, the relationship between him and coaches that. I think the team said, you know what, we don't want to deal with this, especially with a new era. Let's take a break. When we come back, Steve in Indiana, you're up first. 312-644-6767. We are truly giving you all access to Tom Thayer and Jim Miller here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get the latest updates and messages you want to hear from your Chicago Bears by signing up at chicagobears.com/emails. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Sabin. Bears All Access rolls on. We've been taking phone calls the entire hour. At the end of the show, best caller will receive a gift certificate to Sports Authority. We continue the conversation. Knox, Indiana. Steve, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. My question is, with Jalen Smith being injured and not be able to participate in the combine, and the Bears needing linebackers, how they evaluate his talent without seeing him in the combines, and are they comfortable signing him and letting him sit like they did with Kevin White? I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
I think the Bears are more of at the immediate need of a player that they draft now, come in and play now. And again, we're not talking about the Kevin White scenario because that's something totally different than we're talking about the linebacker from Notre Dame. So, to me, if I have a guy, I want a contributor now because I don't think they have the luxury of waiting an entire season to see the outcome of the surgery results.
Yeah, and a lot of it is the medical competitive advantage where you get your team doctors, your team trainers in there, how long the injury is to recover. And, you know, some teams have knocked it out of the park. I go back to think about when Drew Brees was a free agent. Miami Dolphins were going to sign Drew Brees. Nick Saban said, I wanted Drew Brees. And they said, no, coach, we don't think his shoulder's ready. And then here in New Orleans goes out and scoops up and signs Drew Brees, you know, here, what is it, 40,000 passing yards later in a Super Bowl championship. You know, Miami wished they would have had the medical competitive advantage. So it happens for a lot of guys going into the combine. There will be a medical recheck. If guys can't work out and do those things, first they'll get all the x-rays, MRIs, all that type of stuff the first time around. And then prior to the draft, they'll do another cleanup where they go into Indianapolis again and they do another medical recheck. And so for players that are injured, that's very important in the process of whether they will or will not be drafted.
And we've seen situations. Just look at last year, Todd Gurley. There were a lot of people who were probably scared off, you know, after the ACL injury. The Rams were not. They trusted their medical people. They trusted the information they got. And look at him. He became one of the best players in football as a rookie last year.
There's a big enough body of work on video to understand these young men are dedicated to the game of playing football and at the top two or three at their position. So it is about the recovery and the rehab of the injury.
I just think that around here, there have been so many, at least this millennium, so many unfortunate situations in regards to injuries and the Bears' first-round picks. You know, you can start with last year, Kevin White. Remember Chris Williams when he was drafted. Mm. Mark Colombo early on in his Bears career. It's just been way too many of those situations that I think you get scared in regards to that kind of stuff around here.
Yeah, and rightfully so. I mean, and so you're right. I think it would, you know, you would lean that they'd go in a different direction. There's some good backers in this draft. I saw a couple guys down at the Senior Bowl. There's a kid north of the border in Wisconsin, Joe Schobert, who I think is going to be a fantastic player. Check out the Temple kid, Matakevich. That guy had like 14 tackles at the Senior Bowl. He was all over the field. Certainly Reggie Ragland is going to be in high demand. He's probably a first-round pick out of Alabama. But, again, if you do the homework, there's some diamonds in the rough where the Bears could shore up their linebacker spot at the inside position.
And the great thing is, in addition to the scouting staff, the other thing that I like is the fact that if you look at John Fox's career, even going back to Denver, you know, some of the names that we're talking about that could potentially end up here, guys like Malik Jackson and Danny Trevathan, late-round draft picks in Denver. Right. Clearly, he's got an eye for this. Same thing with Vic Fangio. I like that. I like the fact that your scouts can go to your coaches. They can correctly identify guys who can fit what they need going forward.
Well, you know, Coach Fox says it's not always about talent. That's one of the great things I like that he says, because it's about your desire to be great sometimes overshadows your talent.
Yeah, we've got to take a break here. Chris in Rockford, you're coming up next at 312-644-6767. But one of the things I love about John Fox that he talked about this year is because he lets his coordinators coordinate, he spent time watching the practice squad and the scout team, and he would elevate guys just based on the way they were playing, just a good eye for football. Let's take a break. We'll come back. More of your phone calls next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. Former Bears quarterback Jim Miller is with us as well. We've got a gift certificate to Sports Authority that's just hanging there waiting for someone to grab it. The best caller of the hour will get it. And this is our final segment, so there's a lot of heat on all the different people that are calling. Should we go out to Rockford?
Yeah,
let's go out to Rockford. You are on Bears All Access. What's going on?
Hey, I just wanted to take a moment and say, you guys are amazing. I love your guys' work. I've been following the Bears all my life, and I have nothing but the utmost respect for you, Zach, and obviously Miller and Thayer as well. So
Thanks a lot.
Oh, no problem. The question I had was reference to Fox. And again, this is just, I'm not being biased or negative in any way. I'm not trying to be. I'm just trying to be, you know, realistic with everything. I think at one point they had a span of games, five games, where they lost by a combined like 16 or 17 points. It's very small. And I guess the question I have in reference to the big picture, a lot of those games were lost by direct correlation to the decisions that were made by Fox or by the staff. I guess going forward, do you have any doubts or concerns in reference to the big picture in reference to those games that are lost or won by a matter of minutes or seconds?
I kind of don't, because there's such an ebb and flow to each game that there's a play or a result of a play that matters more than some of those decisions, just like the missed kicks at the end of back-to-back games. If you win those games, then the clock management is thought of completely differently than it has been in the past. So I think every coach has questions about how they finish a game, but it's about, you know, plays within the game that are the reason you're finishing that way.
Jim, to piggyback on what Tom was saying, and you can elaborate on this, just go look at the Super Bowl. You know, first pass of the game for Cam Newton is a little high, but that was a big opportunity. A big play could have been made, and usually there are about five of those a game. You don't know when they're going to come, but when the opportunity is there, you got to make them.
Yeah, especially against the number one defense in the National Football League, which Denver is, and part of, you know, what John Fox built out there in Denver. And I just go back to this. You know, think of the loss to Denver. Remember John Fox was criticized because he didn't take the field goal with what was there, like 9 minutes left in the game? It's the number one defense in the NFL. You're up against it in terms of your talent on offense and guys that you can present. And he didn't think he was going to get down there again. So he was aggressive with his play call and going for it. So I don't have any questions about John Fox at all and his ability to coach. When they upgrade the talent, those close games that Tom Thayer just talked about, where you're missing a kick that could have been a game winner or getting that potential touchdown in a fourth and goal situation, once the talent is upgraded, I think John Fox and his coaching ability will be right there, and they'll be able to win those close matchups that they lost this season or this past season in 2015.
You look at Belichick's exit from the playoffs this year. It's haunting because of they said that he had terrible clock and scoring management there.
Good point.
Every game's different.
Yeah, no question about it. And I think that you have to be realistic as to what you expected this past season. The Bears were a team 2 years ago. They weren't very competitive. John Fox came in, and they were a competitive team. Injuries were never used as an excuse, though they lost a lot of key weapons, and yet they still managed to be able to put themselves in a position where we're talking about these late-game situations.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think when you go into Green Bay and you beat Green Bay in Green Bay, it just shows you the next year coming back, you better be competitive within your division, both home and away.
I'm going to give the Sports Authority gift certificate to Brendan out of Crystal Lake. He had a question about Kadeem Carey, but also the astute football knowledge to mention Sonoris Perry and Jacquez Rogers, who's a free agent, and what his future may be with the Bears. Really like the knowledge there. Brendan from Crystal Lake wins our Sports Authority best caller of the show, and hence a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Guys, it was a blast. We'll talk next week from the Combine.
Very good.
Great audible, my friend.
Yeah, and we'll keep doing it. I liked it so much, we're going to do it again next week, guys. We'll do the show on Wednesday. I'll be in Indianapolis. Tom will be here. And Jim, I think you'll be in Indy too, right? Sort of?
I will be in Indianapolis at the Combine, absolutely.
All right, so we'll pick your brain as well. Thank you for listening. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by FanDuel, MasterCard, and Verizon.